Clearwater Revival. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go to the phones, and joining us as he does on a regular basis, Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Happy holidays.
Hey, the same to you. You know, I kind of finished up with our last guest talking about catching stock trout, and I looked at the stocking report, and Horsetooth and Boyd and up and down the Front Range, they've been just pouring trout into these bodies of water. Plus, a lot of them are big enough to have some really nice holdover trout. They get some pretty good size. And this not only provides a great fishing opportunity, but great table fare if done right, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked at the stocking report as well, getting ready for this call. And yeah, you pretty much hit that nail on the head. Everything up and down the Front Range has been stocked. I talked to a friend of mine who drives one of the trucks. He said the list would be shorter as to where he wouldn't have gone so far. So, yeah, I think the bottom line is wherever you like to go catch stock or trout, this is an excellent time to do it. Also, just getting some ice reports, just a few places starting to get some rim ice, which bodes very well for the trout fishing right now because, as you're well aware, right before ice is where they get really, really good. In fact, some of the best fishing I've had for trout have been literally right as it starts to ice in. And so good chance to go out and catch a bunch of them. And as we've discussed in the past, Terry, they're very much meant to be put and take fish. So taking a few of them home, is not going to be an issue at all. And at this time of year, everybody's trying to share food. You know, everyone's got holiday parties and things like that. And I always bring some sort of fish or game anywhere I go. I'm pretty sure that's a big shocker to listeners out there. But when I bring food to somebody's house, it's almost always fish or game that I've harvested. And I feel like at this time of year, some sort of a trout thing is a good call.
You know what? Before we get into some ways to prepare them, what are some of your favorite presentations or tactics when you go for these trout?
Well, at this time of year, in my opinion, they're fairly aggressive. And I was listening to your last caller talking about a static rod, and I fully agree with that. That's a great way to go about catching them. But you know me, Terry, I've got the focus of a squirrel. So I want to cast and retrieve something, if at all possible. And if I'm going just to straight harvest them, and this is going to sound silly coming out of me, but if you take a piece of power bait and you mold that into a shape on a hook instead of just putting it into a ball, putting it on a treble hook, but if you mold that into something long and skinny and maybe flat on one end, if people go on our YouTube channel, there's some videos about that. The Europeans have taken that to a science and basically taking the power bait, molding it into a shape on a hook and then retrieving it so that it wobbles back and forth like a spoon. Or spins like an inline spinner is a kind of a high level trick for using power bait as opposed to sitting on the bottom like your last caller was talking about or hanging under a bobber. Now you've got the best of both worlds, and stocker trout love power bait, and your kids can do it, and it's cheap, and it's just an easy way to go about catching them. But the key is take a small piece of it, a long shank, straight shanked hook, and mold the bait and retrieve it. Throw it out with a split shot ahead of it and retrieve it back in. And the key there is that you can also release a bunch of the fish. That you're not going to gut hook them. So you can release the fish if you want as well instead of just keeping your number to take and feed people. So that's probably the easiest way to go about catching them. But as your caller mentioned, a spoon of some sort, a Johnson Sprite or a splitter spoon be really good, an inline spinner of some sort, good call. But at the end of the day, they're biting, and that's what matters.
And they're biting. They're active because they like the cold water. And they've been heavily stocked, and there's always holdover fish. You could get a bigger fish. But the ones recently stocked probably aren't the brightest bulb in the lamp either. So they'll fall for things that maybe another fish has seen more and had experience with. And it's meant to be that average weekend angler, go out, have some fun, catch a few fish, and then harvest some and take them home and go read the stocking report. In fact, on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, Karen posts the fishing report. There's a link right in there to the stocking report, and they tell you where these fish are. They want you to catch them. But now, Chad, I've caught these fish. I've taken a couple home. Are they good to eat?
To be honest with you, no. they're not fantastic eating. To be really blunt, if you just take that fish home and you just bake it in the oven and serve it, it's going to have a muddy flavor and not a tremendous amount of texture to it. So the key is that they take on flavor very well. And so for me, particularly because I'm thinking along the lines of trying to share this dish, not just make it at home, I'm going to turn it into something that I can share easily. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is dip, fish dip of some sort, smoked fish dip or baked fish dip, some sort of a dip scenario where I mix it with cream cheese or sour cream and some sort of citric acid or lemon juice or something along those lines, maybe some white wine. There's a bajillion, you know, fish dip recipes out there. And stocker trout are perfect for it because they're not, it's not a really big fish. You can make a small amount of it or you know, whatever. It's not a lot to deal with. You're dealing with a couple of fish that are 10 inches long, not too big of a deal to handle in your kitchen or whatever. But you can bake them and bake them whole, skin on, the whole nine yards, bake the whole fish, and then pick the meat off the bones and then turn that into almost anything you want. So one of the things that I've made with it in the past that's really good is fish sticks of all the crazy things. Like when you were a kid, you had little fish sticks or fish patties. Same thing. Take the fish, just bake it off and put it in a big, in a glass baking dish or a metal baking dish, put it in the oven, bake it till it's barely done, like 140, 145 degrees internal. Then take that meat, flake it apart, and pull the bones. You, at that point, you can peel the skin off it, take the meat off the bones very easily without having to deal with all the bones because it's fully cooked. You can do that with your hands, pick it apart, and then take that meat and mix it with other stuff and make tasty stuff. And fish sticks is a really easy one. Mix it with some breadcrumbs and a blended up egg and some flavoring of some sort, some mayonnaise, some kind of something to give it some seasoning, and then make little sticks. Partially freeze them before you bread them and then go ahead and fry them off. And they're absolutely delicious at that point. And it's same kind of thing with the dip. If you take the dip, I prefer smoking it, but you can also bake it in the oven and then season it heavily. And you can take it down the road of Cajun, let's say, or you can go down, you know, whatever kind of flavor road you like to go down with whatever seasoning you add to it. So you asked me initially, are they tasty? By themselves, no, but they take on seasoning really well, and therefore you can do things with them that make them easy to share. And for me, more often than not, it's going to come down to pre-cooking the fish, taking the meat off the bones, and then turning that meat into other things, and it's really good. Now, you've also mentioned several times holdover fish. If you get fish that are, you know, say 16 to 20 inches long, they've been in the lake all summer at least, or maybe more. In that case, you can go ahead and serve them whole, recognizable as a fish. And in that scenario, I might be more inclined to smoke it whole and then present it accordingly so that people can see what they're eating. But most of the time, I'm going to go ahead and take them apart.
Now, those holdover fish, or all the fish, you can kind of tell when you look at the fish what the quality of the meat's going to be, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. The trout that are freshly stocked, the meat's going to be a very white, kind of pale off-white color, almost a little bit of a gray hue to it, and they're very mushy. And the easy way to look at it when you're looking at the fish without peeling the skin off is the tails and things. If the adipose fin and the tail fin or the dorsal fin are beat up or are not formed correctly, that's because the fish was in the hatchery. He was crowded when they first put him in the lake. He hasn't had a chance to clean up, basically, so to speak, where he'll grow all that back. If you get one that's got perfect fins and perfect coloring on him, even if he's only 12, 14 inches long, he's been in the lake long enough to heal. And therefore his meat will be better. And some of the holdovers that have been there a year plus, particularly out of places like Horsetooth or Boyd, where they're eating bait fish almost exclusively or Pueblo, those fish are going to have very firm texture. It'll be a reddish or orange color and it's delicious. And in that scenario, again, I'd be inclined to serve the fish whole so that people can see what they're looking at. So a whole smoked fish, let them pick the meat off with a fork and put it right on a cracker. And eat it that way. But if they are true stockers, what I call a stocker, they've been in the lake, you know, maybe a couple of months at the most. Those fish, they do better if you go ahead and season them up fairly heavily with other things. You can also cook them into soup of some sort. That's really good. Cook the whole fish in the soup and then pick the bones out. That's really good. Some sort of an Italian soup. I've done that before with tomato and parsley and stuff like that in the soup. That's a really delicious way to go about it as well, to serve them. And but yeah, at the end of the day, what you have is a piece of protein that, it, that absorbs flavor really well and can be made into lots of different things. You can say you caught it yourself and provided it to other people, and that's really what it's all about.
Chad, you've done some cooking videos in the past in addition to your fishing television shows and your fishing videos. Do any of your videos address this, and where would people find them?
Absolutely, yeah. There are several of them on my YouTube channel at Fishful Thinker, and we have a whole section of just cooking videos, and there's smoked trout on there. There's fish sticks on there. There's the soup I just mentioned is on there. There's quite a few recipes on there, actually. Terry, thanks for bringing that up. It's something that I really love. Most people that know of me as a fisherman, but at the end of the day, I like to fish, or I like to cook as much as I like to fish, and hunt for that matter, and I've been doing a lot of venison harvesting this year, and we've been eating a tremendous amount of venison, and actually, for the Thanksgiving that I'm going to this year, I smoked a whole venison shoulder, a whitetail that I shot, and I smoked the entire shoulder whole, and then braised it down, shredded the meat, and made gravy with the braising liquid, and that's what I'm bringing for my Thanksgiving dish up to a family that I'm going to.
Well, you're not going to drop any off at my house?
I might be inclined to drop some on the way by, Terry. It's pretty good, and actually, I got 6 pounds of meat off each shoulder. 6 pounds of finished cooked meat after the bones and everything were out off of each shoulder. So I ended up with 12 pounds of perfect shredded venison that is like, it's right up there with any sort of barbacoa or something like that you would have. It's fantastic on tacos. It's fantastic on mashed potatoes. It's just really good stuff all the way around. I take the time to make a really good gravy with the braising liquid as well and with a nice dark roux in it and a bunch of seasoning. It's delicious.
All right, you're making me hungry, so I'm going to let you go. But we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks very much, Terry.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday.
You as well.
Thank you. Chad LaChance, always a great contributor. We're going to take a time out. We come back. I've got some ice fishing updates from around the state that I'll share with you. And maybe Dan Jacobs will join us and we can find out what's going on in the sports world. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.